Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Truck and Got Isekai'd into Equestria. I'm your host, the beloved Graceful Spark, and with me as always is my darling co-host Beans. How you doing today, Beans?
I'm doing surprisingly well, actually. It's been a nice, relaxing day for the most part, since, you know, the events that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, after the bear attack, it was pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in hindsight of that major problem, now it's a much more minor inconvenience in my day-to-day life, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you, dear listener, if you haven't put it together yet, or you're not watching along with us, which, again, is reasonable. A lot of people, this is their only window to what's going on in Horse.
That is fair.
We will be talking about the episode of our lives, entitled Season 1, Episode 6, Boastbusters. Directed by the same people as last time. Written by Chris Savino. Original air date, November 19th, 2010. That's still weird to say from inside the fiction? It's not fiction to us. It's our real lives.
Yeah, I've just gone to the point of accepting this is how the world works now.
Yeah, it's just weird to say out loud, right? It's weird to acknowledge it.
Do we need to talk about the fact that I'm really comfortable with simulation theory being real? Like, that doesn't, like, I don't know. It's a little weird. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I'm perfectly cool with, like, living in this fictional world. It's just weird to, you know, start a discussion every week with a little bit of duck amuck, right? With a little bit of looking at the fourth wall and saying all writers are bastards, you know?
Okay, yes, all right.
I'm wearing white copper horse armor. This adventure starts with us looking inside Twilight Sparkle's window to see her giving Spike a mustache with her magic.
Ah, yes, she's been practicing some magic tricks again.
Yeah.
And this one's number 25.
Yeah, it's a little weird that, like, they don't call them spells or anything like that. They're always tricks. Like, you know, 25 tricks.
I mean, if it's a spell, you gotta give it a name and then a really long description in a book.
Yeah.
And you gotta attribute your every acid arrow you fire to a guy called MILF? Like, come on.
I think we do get, like, spells later, so maybe trick is, like, their word for cantrip or something.
Yeah, like, everything that she does that we've seen through that window has all been, like, yeah, little cantrip shit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Twilight is in her library, turning tricks with Spike, and...
Yeah. don't know if I like that one. I'm pretty sure she has explicitly put it out that Spike is a baby dragon. That being said, Spike very much wants to fuck Rarity.
Yeah.
And I am forever reminded that... I wish I had... I mean, I can't go look it up now, we're in Equestria, but, like,
yeah.
I wish I had memorized the study that had just been done of, like, they basically came to the conclusion that, like, men think they are more attractive, like, modern, like, the last, like, 30 years or so. Men think they are more attractive to women with a lot of facial hair, but
yeah.
The average, like, general census of women is that clean-shaven men are more attractive, or, like, stubble. So, the concept of getting a mustache or beard to attract straight girls is baffling. And I tried to explain to Spike, but he just wouldn't fucking listen.
Yeah, he was just too interested in having a mustache and fantasizing about his little Fu Manchu situation. He was into it.
Yes. That's later on in the evening when he gets to that. Like, that was just he got a mustache, and he's like, oh man, Rarity's gotta wanna fuck me now that I have black facial hair. It's fine. And then Twilight, to give her credit, is like, nah, Spike, this is just a magic trick. I gotta get rid of that for you.
Yeah, and like, Spike, when has she ever given you any indication that this would work?
Right?
Who knows? Well, like, that's the problem, really, is that, like, Spike doesn't just talk to Rarity like a person, like a pony, like an equal.
Yeah, like, I mean...
He has this one-sided crush that, like, he's created this simulacrum of Rarity in his head. Which, I get it, that's how crushes work.
I am rotating the rarity simulacrum in my mind.
I am simulating the rarity in my mind.
Yeah.
She's made out of marshmallow.
That's valid.
Yeah, it's about the same consistency. But
yeah, it's a weird it's a weird but very believable relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The writers know what they're doing with this. I hate every boy that is Spike. I have been Spike in the past. It was not a good look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Yeah, what he's doing is silly, but, like, it's... This happens all the time.
Yeah.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Right?
Spike is guilty. He knows what he did. Anyways.
Twilight also calls him... Oh, sorry, no, yeah, we need to... There is a very good thing first, please.
Oh, I just got that, like... Yep, we cut to basically, oh, Twilight, you know how to do 25 tricks, and we get some exposition about how most unicorns only get, like, a little magic related to their special talent, including the acknowledgement that there are unicorns whose special talent is math, and their magic helps them do that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, right? In a slightly different parallel universe, I would have been the math unicorn. I get it.
I mean, there is also a much closer parallel universe where you're Trixie, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sorry to call you out, but...
No, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, might as well just get it out off the bat before we even see her.
Yeah, like, look, when I was watching the series for the first time, I was kind of hit or miss on Trixie. I was kind of whatever on her. Now it's like, yeah, I can see the gender.
Sorry, I was just going to say, my notes here even say, ask if she gives you genders, so excellent.
I have a lot more thoughts on Trixie. Like, I will save this for when she shows up, but the short version is I'm more of a Trixie apologist than I used to be.
That's fair. Also...
I was just going to say we meet Snips and Snails next.
Right before that, because for some reason this is something I can't let go, Twilight does call Spike Romeo, which, was there a Romeo and Juliet in Equestria? Because you fucking know that is a story I want to see played out in this children's cartoon.
Yeah, give me Horatio and Juliet's.
Right? A pox on both your stables. They have made worms meet of me. Like
Ponio. Well, no, we know his name is Romeo. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, also, like, man, way to say. I think you're gonna fall into the kind of relationship where you ended up killing yourself to someone if you call them Romeo. Like,
yeah,
it's really not a great love story, actually, guys.
Yeah, it's bad. They're children. They make a bunch of bad decisions. It's not good. Which, for all we know, that's what Twilight is saying. She's saying, Spike, this is ill-advised, you shouldn't do it.
I never even considered that.
Rarity will fake her death to get away from you, don't put it past her.
Oh, you're right. Like, originally I was gonna be like, oh, this is such a stupid use, but no, this might be one of the most impressive uses of Romeo and Juliet. Like, a reference to that is actually so very on the nose.
Like, you look at Rarity... Simulate her in your mind, and you tell me she would not fake her own death to, like, get out of a relationship.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
She has done it before. I know this.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Like, I could just hear her saying, like, oh, I should go hide. He thinks I'm dead. Yeah.
You understand.
And that's why, like, Rarity, you can't just hide with this guy before. Yes, I can. I've been doing it this long.
Yeah. Fuck. But yeah, we do get to meet, Snips and Snails?
Yeah, Snips and Snails, who have some... They get a little grating, but I do appreciate their hench energy.
Yes, they have amazing idiot hench energy.
Yeah, like, it's very good that, like, they're both the, oh, okay, boss, kind of guys.
Yeah. I mean, one of them... Well...
Like, they're Pinky and the Brain, but if neither of them were, like... quote, the smart guy, end quote.
Hi, probably not a very spicy take, but Pinky is the genius?
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, he saves the world every night. What more do you want from him?
Right? Yeah, like, Pinky is There is the one time where they do Pinky's, like, sparkly pants plan to take over the world, and it fucking works.
Yeah,
like,
and the only reason it does it is because Brain couldn't let his pride take it.
Yeah, Pinky's entire thing is Pinky is the fucking genius and just plays around with his crazy cellmate in their weird prison. Oh, I hope we don't get isekai'd into that. That sounds like a horrible place to be.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't start thinking about your animaniac Sona.
Goodbye, nurse.
So we meet Trixie after this, yeah?
Yeah.
Snips and Snails are like, oh, you know, this pony set up a... She's at the stage. Yeah, we're gonna go see her.
Yeah, she's great. She's perfect. She's the best. We have a weird relationship towards her that is an ugly mirror of Spike and Twilight.
Yeah, so, like... So what happens here, and, like, this is the fucking... I didn't pick up on this before, but now it's really weird to me. So, like, they go there, Trixie gets on the stage, she's like, you know, oh, I'm the great and powerful Trixie, I've beaten Ursa Major, I've done all this cool stuff. And then, like, everyone gets mad at her for being boastful? Like, this is her job, she's giving a performance. Like, it's like, do you walk into a play, it's like, bullshit, that guy's not King Lear. Like...
Oh, fuck.
Like, that's... I get that, like, maybe she doubles down too much, but, like, this is her job. She's performing. It's weird to, like, say, oh, you're so full of yourself while you're performing. Like,
okay, but, like, there is a difference between, hey, I'm getting up on stage and I'm doing some magic tricks, and, hey... I'm talking in the third person about how wonderful and powerful I am, and here's my magic trick, and, like, I am more powerful than anyone else in this room. Look at me, I am magnificent. Like,
it's patter. I do the same shit when I'm... Admittedly, I'm doing it for sex reasons, but, like...
Okay. The crowd did not consent to Trixie's weird power doming.
Like, it's part of, like, selling the magic, right? Like... If you want people to it's weird to say you're a magician when, like, you can, in fact, levitate things with your mind. But, like, she's a showmare. Like...
Yeah.
You're expected to, you know, talk yourself up a bit, right?
Yes.
If you don't like the show, you could just leave instead of just being like, oh, this bitch is too full of herself. Someone has to take her down a peg.
Okay. So, the thing is... When it comes to, like, stage presentations like this, I know I am always a sucker for, like, the magician who pretends they fucked up the trick, and are like, yeah. Fuck, I'm horrible at this, and then, like, the trick's perfectly done afterwards.
Sure,
like,
I get it.
Yeah.
But it's, and I get that, like, Trixie does other bad things here, she is not blameless in this situation, but it's really weird that, like, they don't even, like, enjoy what she's doing. Like, their immediate thought is, damn, this bitch sucks.
I mean, because what she's doing, like, most of the tricks she's doing beforehand is just showing up with her truck and, like, kicking open the stage and just being like, hey, bitches, look at me, I'm fucking magical. What's up? Yeah. All of you gotta love me now. I am the most magical bitch here. Like, and the thing is, like, Rarity, who is... like, all about being, like, demure and fashionable. Like, Rarity is like, oh, this is so gauche, which is, a very Rarity take.
Yeah.
And then, like, Spike's like, yeah, doesn't she know Twilight's more magic? I mean, you're magical too, Rarity, I need to go get my mustache. But, like, when you get right down to it for that end of that conversation, for just a second, like... If Spike could finish that sentence, I think Rarity would say yes. Like...
Yeah, like, Twilight's whole thing is that she's... Her special talent is magic. We've established this. Yeah. Like, she's literally hired by the God Princess to do magic. Like,
she is the literal embodiment of the element of friendship magic. Like, yeah. She is wizard-gendered. Like, yes, she's the most magical person here, statedly.
Yeah, it's not an insult to, like, tell someone that. To say... Yeah. I mean, it's maybe a little weird to say... Yeah, like, it's not an insult to not include Rarity in that. She knows what she is about.
Yeah, it'd be like, oh man, I can't believe this writer is up on stage, but hey, like, and my friend who writes, like, small short stories, like, you know, is like, oh, this, they're being way too boastful with this. And me, someone who doesn't write stories, is like, yeah, our fucking best friend, the published novelist, is a way better writer than this person. Like, if you change it to anything other than being able to do magic, this is a conversation that makes sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah, which, like, I understand the parallel they're trying to draw here, because, like, you know, looking ahead at, like, the moral of the story, I've been in Twilight shoes a lot. I am always walking the weird tightrope of, like, ah, geez, am I being confident in my abilities? Am I talking about myself too much? Am I, like, you know, puffing myself up too much? Am I being a braggart? Whatever, right? Like...
And I think that's the problem with Trixie, is she's at least presented as someone who never has that question. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the issue, is yeah. Trixie is too full of herself and makes that way too obvious, like, as her stage performance.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and how she acts off stage as well. We can get to that later.
I see what they were going for with Trixie. It's just, like, the way these things start that rubs me the wrong way. Like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a little weird that, like, oh, you know, I don't like this person's show. I'm going to teach her a lesson. Is that you can leave.
I mean,
like,
that's,
you're just
that's,
outside. Like,
that's not what they do, though. That's yeah. not the thing. Like, she's talking herself up. Like, Rarity sasses Spike, insists that he needs a mustache because he's an idiot. And, like, Rainbow's like, oh, man, look at this bitch. Doesn't she know I'm the best fucking pony? And Applejack just stares her down. Because, like, we all know Rainbow Dash is, like... Rainbow Dash is the better version of Trixie, where, like, she's very full of herself, but is 100% understanding when people call her out on her bullshit and, like, falls yeah. back a bit off of it, rather than just, like, doubling down.
Yeah.
And then Trixie overhears this, and then says that there are naysayers in the audience.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
Yeah. And, like... Trixie's just fucking on stage, like, demanding ponies come up from the audience to fucking have a rational
duel.
Atheist fucking debate about magic. She is the great and powerful Trixie. Come up here and change her mind.
Get up here so I can upstage you. Like,
yeah.
Which, you know, again, like, I could see how you would compare me to Trixie. We both have stage magician genders.
Yes,
but
Trixie's
yeah.
Trixie's weight, like,
yeah,
it is very heavy handed how much we are supposed to hate Trixie. When
yeah,
how
heavy
this is written
exactly,
yeah.
which
Thank
is like,
you.
Yeah, that's why. Again, I get that we're supposed to not like Trixie. I get that she makes mistakes, and like, yeah, you know, she's in the wrong here. But like, even though her main crime is like saying she did something during a show, and then some impressionable dipshits like took it too far.
Yes. The thing is, like, the main six are kind of, like, the other ponies in the crowd are clearly into it. It's the
yeah.
main six are all, like, well, the ones that are there,
yeah.
are all, like, this is a little much, isn't it? And, like, Trixie overhears them and engages.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you're painting it as, like, they loudly went after Trixie, where it's, like, they quietly griped amongst themselves, and, like, they were stuck
yeah.
at the fucking front of the crowd, so they can't really leave easily.
Sure.
And Trixie, like, aggresses.
Yeah, Trixie absolutely escalated this instead of, like, you know,
yeah.
The more reasonable thing for her to have done would have been, like, yeah. I say more reasonable as if she's not supposed to be the villain of the piece.
Yeah.
You know, to, like, you know, either ignored them or, like, you know, there's an art to, like, engaging with hecklers in a funny way or, like, oh, you know, inviting them up on stage to have them be part of the thing, you know. There's more diplomatic ways to handle this. And
yeah,
I guess
this is not.
It's her fault that she didn't do
ben
that.
Being Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry to mention the horrid name.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, but you under like that was the thing that bugged me at first was it's like, oh, you know, damn, you know. It seems weird to go to someone's show and I made my point. That was what
yes.
bugged me. That like it seemed they are the aggressors here, which seems weird.
Yeah, but they were being quietly, like, they weren't, like, actively heckling until she started, like, calling them out from the
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, they should have just left. That would have been yeah. reasonable. But this is a TV, well, I mean, it's the life we live. But
yeah.
the moments that other people will have witnessed is a TV
yeah.
show.
And, like, yeah, like, to Twilight's credit, she does turn Spike's mouth into a zipper.
Yeah.
Which is pretty horny.
It is. It is. I also noticed, like, right after she did that... there's about like a 30 seconds or so where Trixie's talking, where she just sounds a lot like Applejack before sliding back into her, like, very, like, stage pony thing.
I'm glad Trixie briefly caught a case of being rootin' and also tootin'.
Right? Also, like, when before she brought up the Ursa Major thing, and, like, she'd, like, started the escalation, rainbow being rainbow, and then full of idiot dyke energy, like, went up there and has this the weirdest sky sit ever. Like, getting in a face-to-face argument with Trixie.
Yeah. AJ does her thing first, though.
No.
AJ has Rarity a goes rope up thing. First.
No. Rarity goes up first. Trixie reveals her Ursa Major thing, and then then Rainbow, like, goes down to the crowd, and then we have the whole AJ thing. I very carefully took notes of that after we watched it happen, because I knew we would have to talk about this in chronological order, because it is fucking baffling.
Yeah. Yeah, so AJ is... So Applejack does this pretty impressive rope trick where she, like, you know, you lassos an apple with her tail and then eats it.
Yeah.
And then, like, Trixie just kind of, like, distracts her with one end of the rope and then ties her up with the other. Everyone acts like Trixie was, but Applejack's thing was way more impressive. Like,
yeah,
A, she did it without magic, and B, like, okay, Applejack got tied up while she was distracted.
With, like, some fucking Eastern mysticism snake charming bullshit, yeah, which is just like, that's not a great, look, guys.
Yeah, like, yeah, I get that, like, you made Applejack look like a fool, but, like, her thing was more impressive. She displayed genuine talent.
Right? Like, and that seems to be the running thing here as we go forward, is Trixie is just very good at, like, undercutting other people's showmanship. And that's about all she does.
Yeah, which is, you know, again, presents her as the villain of the piece here. Like, when whenever I do a horny stage hypnosis scene, it usually includes the phrase, like, oh, but you get to be the real star of the show, dear.
Right?
But Trixie is just here to make herself look good at everyone else's expense. Which, like, it's very easy to do. It's very easy to do that when, like, the other person does their thing first, and all you have to do is, like, you know, and all you have to do is, like, trip them up or, like, make them look bad after the fact. Like, yeah, you can do the same thing by, like, you know, making a jerk-off motion with your hoof or, like, oh, wasn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also... It's something that I made a note of because I was very concerned about at the time, but, like, Trixie does call herself the most powerful, like, equestrian, which, like, one, I'm pretty sure that word is used for people who ride horses.
Well, it's not like they don't have a word for people who ride horses here, Beans.
I mean, okay, yeah, I know, but, like, two, what about fucking Celestia, baby? Like, cool, you beat an Ursa Major. This is the town that defeated Nightmare Moon, bitch. Like, I don't know what you want.
It's showmanship.
You've come to the wrong place.
You're allowed to talk yourself up. Like,
yes, I get that. It's just... It feels to me like the equivalent of being like, oh yeah, I'm so fucking cool. I went to the gun range with my pistol and shot it a few times in a crowd that, like, you should know... are all fucking rifle marksmen or shit. Like, they're not gonna... Like, it shouldn't be impressive to this crowd. They have Twilight. They beat Nightmare Moon. Like, this is common knowledge, right? They had an entire party and everything.
Well...
It wasn't that long ago.
If you will flash forward to the end of the episode, an Ursa Major is, like, something even Twilight doesn't want to fuck with.
I mean, to be fair, Twilight didn't want to fuck with Nightmare Moon either. Yeah. Until, like, she was forced to.
Yeah. Like...
But
I'm willing to cut Trixie some slack because when you're performing, you don't have to say things that are literally true, right? Like, you don't go to a play and say, like, what this is, they're not in front of a castle, that's paint.
But that's not what Trixie's doing, though. Trixie isn't, like, putting on a, like, I could try and dig in some philosophy bullshit on this one. But basically, like, there is a difference between, like, Trixie presenting that, like, she is obviously playing a character in a, like, fictitious story, which would be plays, and then the thing she's doing, which is saying that she as a person did this, and, like, again, to make some lies on stage to make yourself look cool, that's not my point. My point is, like, cool, you fought off a bear, but you're saying this in a town that, like, the people who fought off the fucking evil god live in.
Yeah.
Like, it is a weird choice to think that that is going to fly in this audience. And to be fair, aside from our representatives of the main six that are here, it does. But, like...
But, like, everyone else wasn't there for Nightmare Moon, right? Like, that happened, yeah, like, in a castle somewhere in the woods.
Yeah, but they had a whole party about
I get
it.
That,
like,
I agree with you that, like, this really shouldn't be that impressive to them.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. We keep coming back to this, and we've talked around this in circles already.
Yeah. Rainbow Dash does her thing. She, like... She flies really fast, she goes through a cloud to, like, and then, like, the moisture droplets catch up with her to make a rainbow appear above her.
Yeah, like, she flies all the way up to the sun and then back down just to get some, like, fresh from the cloud raindrop enema to cause a giant rainbow behind her. Like,
yeah.
It is the gayest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah, and then she
and
says,
I have looked at us in a mirror.
Yeah, she even says, like, that's why they call me Rainbow Dash. Well, there's a rainbow flying over. It's impressive. It's gay. Like, it's very good. Right. And then Trixie, like, makes the rainbow physical and uses it to tie up Rainbow Dash.
Oh, no. Well, kinda.
Like, but she makes her a tornado thing.
Yeah, and just, like, spins Rainbow Dash around a lot, which, like... Yeah, congratulations. Rainbow go forward fast. Rainbow don't have good centrifugal movement control.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like,
good job.
You've bound her wings. Like, whatever. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Again, like, Rainbow Dash and Applejack displayed genuine feats of athleticism that, you know, took a lot of practice.
Oh, that's a real nice drag racer you got there, but can it drift?
Yeah, like... the great and powerful Trixie will put a potato in your tailpipe. Now you're not so great, huh?
Oh, man.
That
has a much different implication when we're talking about ponies and not cars.
Hey, you try to run with a potato in your tailpipe.
Look, if it's made of latex, it has a good flared base, it's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll work something out, too.
Yeah,
so, and then Rarity gets up there.
I mean...
Yeah?
First, Trixie has the very good line of, any pony with a dash of good sense. Like,
yeah, it's a good bit.
The best thing I love is, pretty much all the way through, Trixie's had some, like, good zingers.
Yeah.
Except for the time that she, like, was upset that Rainbow did a really good stunt.
Yeah.
It really I didn't even remember what her zinger was. It was just garbage.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the other ponies around are trying to talk Twilight into getting on stage and, like, being like, hey, Twilight, you fucking killed a god. You can show up this bitch. And Twilight's like, no, you're all being, like, angry at her for showing off her magic and stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't you, like, I don't want to go up there. You'll be angry at me, even though you're telling me to. And you've also all only griped about the fact that she's boasting and not the fact that she's magic.
Yeah, I understand Twilight's reticence here, though. I've been very much in her shoes before. I get it.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, this feels like a conversation that could have been had that would have, you know, skipped an entire episode worth of us having to talk. Which, I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a week off, but we're not having that.
No.
And then Rarity says something about a unicorn must conduct herself with dignity and grace.
And poise.
Which seems, like, weirdly essentialist. Like, certainly there are, you know, there are unicorns who don't do that, Rarity. It's weird of you to, like, yeah.
Hi, Rarity. Thanks. I'm in the crowd. That was kind of rude of you.
Yeah, like, yeah. Certainly there are unicorns who, like, you know, have other priorities. Like,
yeah.
Way to be horse gender essentialist.
Yeah, it's a weird touch. But, like, again, Rarity does, like, some fucking cool magic here.
Yeah.
She pulls down a goddamn curtain and turns it into a dress. Like,
yeah, a good
I'm sure
dress.
That thing's not pinned well and, like, it'd probably fall apart because, like, you know, it's a fucking single curtain she's using.
Yeah, it's held together with magic hot glue and staples or whatever, but, like, it's impressive that she could do that quickly. It demonstrates, like, genuine talent.
Yeah, with, like, just a fucking, again, with a shitty curtain. Like,
yeah.
I know enough about, like, clothing making and stuff that I'm legitimately impressed with that shit.
Yeah. I wish I could do that back when I still had fingers, right?
Like, right?
And then Trixie makes her hair green?
Ah, see, she makes a joke about a rat's nest of a mane, which is why Rarity is angry and gets up on stage.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. And then, yeah, it's she turns Rarity's hair green with some, like, fake rat tails sticking out of it or something. Because I guess Trixie only has one joke.
Yeah, like, she didn't even really upstage Rarity. She just, like, made her look worse.
Yeah, she just did a kind of malicious, shitty thing.
Yeah, Rarity's like, oh, hey, yeah, nice dress. What if I, like, you know, dump a glass of water on your head, huh? Huh? Then don't you look silly? Like,
Rarity, you can just fix this. You got magic.
Yeah, like...
You can just do exactly what she did again and fix your hair.
Like, yeah, like, she didn't even upstage her. Like, she hasn't really upstaged any of these ponies. Like, yeah, I can see how, like, maybe... I'll admit it's pretty impressive to turn a rainbow into a physical thing, but, like...
Yeah.
Like, what did you really do to Rarity? Like, oh no, you messed up her hair. Like, I get that, like, that's a good way to make Rarity upset, but, like, her thing was more impressive.
Yeah. Although, another weird, like, Rarity has some weird prejudices that we might need to talk about at some point in the future. What's up with her and green hair?
Yeah,
she's extremely rude to Carrot Top or whatever the fuck that pony's
name is. She runs past a version of Carrot Top that has green hair instead of orange hair. And she's like, yeah. Wow, rude.
Which is great, because, like, later on in this episode, we actually see Carrot Top a few times with orange hair. I was like, wait, did they just change... Did she get her hair dyed just to be upset at this one bit?
Carrot Top usually has orange hair. I think, because if you look, her green hair is not drawn as well as it usually would be.
Yeah, I imagine they are just like, we got a pony with a carrot on the butt, and carrots have green on top, so we're just going to change her hair to green for this scene. And no one's going to care, except for us, because we're trapped here.
They literally just colored her mane green for this scene.
Yeah.
And, like, it works. It's a good joke. And admittedly, like, that makes more sense because, like, if her hair is supposed to look like the green part of a carrot plant.
Mm-hmm. That actually would have been a much better design rather than just making it, like, hi, I'd like to make, I'm going to bring a petition out to, petition out to all you people still with fingers. I need you to sign. We're gonna have all the episodes edited to have Carrot Top with green hair, please.
Yeah. And, admittedly, she also goes by Golden Harvest, apparently, and, like, admittedly, her being named Carrot Top wouldn't make any sense if she had green hair, because...
That's the top of a carrot!
But if we say someone is a Carrot Top, we mean they have orange hair.
But, yes, and I kind of always hated that was a thing, because that's not the top of a carrot.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that is the thing we use to talk about people with orange hair.
Yeah. I think we should only call people Carrot Tops if they're into fucking carrots.
Right? Or if they have green hair and orange skin.
Yeah, that's also fine.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Background ponies aside.
Yeah, and then everyone's kind of looking at Twilight to, like, get up there. At Twilight, like, I think I hear my laundry calling, and leaves.
Yeah, that was, Trixie... tries some serious debate bro bullshit, and Twilight wimps out, and by that I mean honestly makes the best choice.
Yeah. Because if you're Twilight in this situation, there's no way you're going to come out looking good. Like, you could do whatever you wanted. Trixie would just, like, you know, oh, yeah, well,
Well, what if I made your horn rubbery? I don't...
That happens later.
Yeah, I realized as soon as I said horn that there's only one thing that I can think of, and it's already a thing that'll happen.
Yeah, like, oh, Teresa would just be like, oh, that's a great magic trick for me to poop on.
Right?
I wouldn't even do anything else, and she would, like, declare herself the winner.
See, okay, but what if Twilight had just quietly written a letter to Celestia being like, hey... Can I get you to show up for, like, 5 minutes?
Can I get you to, like, turn Trixie inside out with your brain? I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Hi, Princess Celestia, I need you to do me a favor, because all my friends are being bullied by someone, and I don't want to, like, get a bad relationship with them. So, like, if you could just show up here and turn this unicorn inside out for us, please, that would be wonderful. Signed, your most faithful bloodthirsty student.
I just think she would look good as a slim good pony.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Snails. Snails is the slim and good pony.
Yeah, yeah. He sure is slim and a good pony. But he doesn't teach you about anatomy.
Oh, could you imagine if he did, though?
I don't think he'd be very good at it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, but after Twilight ran off, I tried to push to the front of the stage. I don't know. Like, you know, we've talked a few times about trying to actually get in on the episodes.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, like, I
don't know.
Yeah, I was tempted to go up there and try, like, you know, some less shitty stage magicianing, but, you know, what are you gonna do?
She turned my coffee into just coffee beans floating in water when I was about to sip some of it.
Aww.
So, you know, it's,
A de-beaning.
Rude. Right? It's very rude. I don't like Trixie.
Yeah. I tried to, like, get up on stage and make a digital watch or something, but she just kind of stepped on it and said, oh, watch out.
God.
It wasn't even a good joke.
Yeah. So I'm about to bring something up that I'm not sure how I feel about once the crowd dispersed, because, Snails is extremely forward with presenting his entire ass to Trixie, and he is a child, so I don't know how I feel about this combination of events. To Trixie's credit, she seems a bit weirded out by it too, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, to Trixie's credit, she doesn't really care about these two other than, like, you know, the fact that they do what she tells them to do. Again, they've got some good hench energy.
Yeah, yeah, they're... my notes are, for this next bit, is Trixie banishes her dumb little henches.
Yeah,
so
she tells them to be gone until morning.
Yeah. And they're bowing and like, scraping their chins along the ground as they back off. Yeah.
I don't know why more ponies don't bow to me. I think I'm more deserving of it.
I would agree.
Such is life.
Yeah, such is life?
Such is wife.
Hmm. Very gay?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what isn't gay?
Hmm?
Spike.
Correct. So,
yeah.
Someone says something about it, you know, well, you know, if there was an Ursa walking down the street, then you'd feel differently, or whatever.
Yeah, also, fucking Snips refers to Trixie as the GNPT.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like the way that sounds in my mouth or brain. Yeah, like, what happens is Snips and Snails get into an argument with Spike. Spike is like, why are you, like, you know, hanging around
why
her?
Why are you still believing this shit? Like, yeah, cool, she said some, like, grand tales on stage, but, like, you've never seen her do it. Like, you're acting like it's 100% true just because she said it.
Yeah, and, like, later in the episode, Trixie's like, all right, I admit it, I never defeated an Ursa. Like, a more reasonable thing for her to have said was, like, no, like, of course that wasn't real. It was part of the show. Why would you think it was real?
Because Trixie is trying to build a cult of personality around her own achievements that didn't happen, and if she remotely admitted that they were not true events... then her cult would fall apart.
Yeah, like, really, the problem here is that Trixie, like, either doesn't understand or is willingly not understanding, like, the nature of being a stage magician, or really any sort of stage performer, is that, like, the audience is here to be lied and tricked and fooled.
Yeah.
But you have to enter into that with good faith and, like, you know, engage them and, you know, not abuse that trust.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing I was trying to touch on earlier, is that, like, she is 100% just abusing that platform.
Yeah. It would be relatively easy for her to tone it down a little bit and then and be fine, but, you know, she is saddled with being the bad guy in this episode, and so here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there are definitely, I have to agree, there are definitely a lot of ways that a much better stage magician could do Trixie's bit.
Yeah.
But, like...
I'm trying, but the show doesn't let me be in it.
Right? I know. It's upsetting.
One of these days, dude.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Maybe my top hat got isekai'd.
Well, We'll have to go looking around. Maybe we'll find it. But
and maybe we can find a bottom hat for you, dear.
Hey.
Whoa. Aw.
Look, I thought a bottom hat was just someone else's thighs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good hat for you, dear.
So to talk about pony brain activations.
I thought the point of you wearing your bottom hat was that it deactivated your brain, dear.
I mean it is for. Okay.
Isn't she cute, folks? She's the real star of the show here, isn't she?
Hey. Whoa.
Good girl.
Okay, I'm just gonna be blushing over here. There's a point I was trying to get to, but I don't know if I can do that now.
What was your point, dear? I'll just sit here and look at your very cute blush until you can say it.
Okay. A few times we had talked in the past about how, like, certain lines are just very big, like, community moments. Think the cupcakes for bubble wrap.
Yeah, or I Hear My Laundry Calling was a pretty popular one.
Really? Okay, good. Because that was actually, like, a legitimately good line. I might actually use that in future.
Or at least, like, I knew someone who went by Twilight Sparkle back in the day, and that they would use that line a lot.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm.
How is Snail saying I like pudding? How is that on that chart?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was on there, but... To my modern brain is trying too hard.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little too much energy there.
Yeah, the context for this, dear listeners, is that, like, Spike is saying basically, like, yeah, why do you believe Trixie? Like, if there was an Ursa walking down the street, things would be different, then the proof would be in the pudding. But until then, like... Until then, like, you know, you really have no reason to believe her. And Stale says, well, I like pudding.
It's not a great...
Yeah, they're trying too hard, right? They're trying too hard to make this guy say things that are jokes. It doesn't land.
Yeah, it's a bit hella weird on that one.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Twilight's library where Spike is trying to get Twilight to, like, you know, do something, and Twilight keeps, like, summoning doors and slamming them in his face.
I mean, it's only one door, but yeah. I have to admit, when there is a shot where, like, Twilight's standing next to the door and Spike's getting upset, but, like, at least he's being good about being like, okay, Twilight's saying no, like, fine if this is how you're gonna be about it. And then he, like, slams the door that's just standing in the middle of the library. It's just a door frame in a door, which, by the way, damn, that's a good trick. Imagine doing that to fucking Trixie. That would be fucking wonderful.
Yeah, like,
but
I honestly think, like, you could, if you conjured a door in Trixie's face and slammed it in her face, that would shut her up, at least for a bit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you just gotta fight fire with a little of the same fire. But Twilight's face when Spike slams the door just hits this most, like, tired and just doesn't want to deal with any shit anymore expression.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stays glaring at the door until he opens it and, like, storms out of the library because she's between him and the exit.
Yeah.
It's a good scene.
Yeah. I'm glad we were looking inside Twilight's window to see it.
Look, the thing is, we remember when the episodes happened, so we can go and peek in the window, and it's fine.
Yeah, it is all in the duty of being podcasters.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I spent some time in Twilight's library, and I found a very baffling book hidden in the back one of the shelves. Like, it was really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how, like, if books are supposed to be stored on a shelf, like, vertically, this book was, like, horizontally at the back.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, pull some books out to get it. But I now have a spell that makes my horn vibrate whenever there's about to be a scene that we need to actually go talk about.
Huh.
That's why I've been so good about, like, you know, knowing when to pull you out so we can go see, you know, peek in someone's window. Huh.
That's handy. Yeah. Does your horn vibrate at other times, dear?
Oh, yes. That's a different spell.
Good to know.
Still working on getting that one just right.
Fair enough. Looking forward to seeing what you come up with, dude.
Okay. Anyway.
A good little horror. I'll have to smooch it sometime.
Again?
It's a good horn. It's very cute. It's got a good mouth feel to it. And you make very cute noises when I do it.
Hey.
What's not to like? Such a good horn.
It's okay, but it's also why we need to go follow fucking Snips and Snails when they snuck out of town.
Yeah. So Snips and Snails go to find the Ursa, which they do pretty quickly.
It's in a cave in the Everforest, so they know exactly which cave to go to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they really do. They just kind of happen to wander into a cave. Oh, yeah, one of them lights up their horn. I think it's Snails.
Yeah, Snails has to light his horn with, like, a sputtering engine noise, yeah. Which, like, mood.
Yeah.
That was me for a while when mm-hmm. we first got here. I get it.
Yeah. And then they light it up. There's a sleeping Ursa right there. And I just like the Ursa's design. It's this really cool star bear. Yeah. Like, the joke is that it's an Ursa Major/Minor, like the constellation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the like constellation on the hip.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a constellation cutie mark.
Yeah.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah.
It's good design.
Yeah, I like the way they look. I'm a little sad they never mm-hmm. really came back. At least to my knowledge.
I'm sad that so many of the sounds that Ursa makes are stock bear noises
yeah.
that you can find in lots of other pieces of media.
Yep.
There was a weird part of my brain that was, I'm pretty sure one of the sounds they use is the exact same sound clip that is used by, like, the, like, camel riding cavalry in, like, Age of Empires 2. Because for whatever reason, all the cavalry units, like, they just make the sound of whatever they're riding on, yeah. not, like, the dude riding them. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same grunt that the camel makes, and that the bear makes at one point.
We have to think about what we live in this universe.
Right? Again, I'm just kind of fine with simulation theory being true. It doesn't change life for me, so.
Yeah, like, I get it. It's fine. It's just weird to acknowledge it in certain ways.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can agree to that.
Yeah.
It'd be like if someone, like, just did a Wilhelm scream, like, perfectly cut Wilhelm scream after, like, stepping on a piece of Lego.
Exactly.
That would be really weird.
Exactly. It's, you know, sure, the universe is a simulation. That doesn't mean, like, I like running up against an invisible wall when I try and go too far in one direction, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is fair.
Yeah, so, we see, Snips and Snails running away from, you know, the giant bear they just woke up. Spike is like, yeah. Hey, what's going on? What's the problem? And like, oh, we got a problem! A major problem! And that's a major problem, to be exact.
Yeah. Yeah. So they go running off to Trixie, and Spike goes running off to Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Because simp's got a simp, you know?
Yeah. Like, I see why Spike goes to Twilight. She's the most yeah. qualified one to do this. Snips and Snails go off to Trixie because that was their whole plan, was to have Trixie vanquish this bear.
So they could see how cool it was.
Yeah, and show everyone, really, that, yeah, Trixie's so great, she can beat this bear. She was telling the truth earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, they aren't even, like, there to try and defend the fact that they think it's true. Like, they have just 100% swallowed that it is truth and just want to see it happen again.
Yeah.
Like, it is, yeah.
Yeah, both because they've staked some ego on this. Like, you know,
yeah.
Spike has kind of, you know, told him put up or shut up. And so they're doubling down. Their beliefs have been questioned, and so here we are.
Yeah. Kudos to Trixie, though. Even being woke up in the middle of the night, she keeps the talking in third person thing going,
yeah.
which is impressive.
Yeah, I think she just talks like that. It's not a bit.
Yeah. It's, again, like, it's a bit of a weird bit, my girl. Like, yeah. Why you like that?
We all need something.
I guess.
Yeah, like, it would have served to ponyize?
Force ponification?
It would have served to bring Trixie a little more down to earth if she was, like, not on when they went to wake her up. Like, her mane was messed up. She's like, what? What do you want? I'm trying to sleep here.
Yeah, that would, I actually really would have liked that. But
if Trixie was the in an episode about, like, you know, separating fiction from reality, or don't believe everything you hear, that probably would...
Yeah, that would have been a much better use of this entire line.
She would have come off as a lot more likable, like, it would have been a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it would have... And Sips and Stales... Yeah. And then, like, it would have been Sips and Stales would have been, like, we're in the wrong.
Yeah, they'd be the quote-unquote villains of the episode, but they wouldn't even really be villains. They'd just be, you know, people who believed a lie, yeah. And the person telling the lie was like, no, that's stage... I was on stage. That's the point of being on stage. Like, if Trixie, like...
Yeah, that was part of the show.
God, it'd be so nice if, like, Trixie, like... Because then you could have, like, Trixie and, like, maybe Rarity or something, like, bumping into each other, like, after the show, and Trixie having, like, a bit of a, like, a look of... It's for being on stage, like, yeah, that was some cool shit you did. I just gotta look cool at the end. Yeah. It's my stage show.
Yeah, like, look, like, I pass the hat around after I do this. I gotta, you know, gotta yeah, make, like, I gotta afford to eat.
Because, like, that could also be very well passed off as, like, tricks. Like, to have a moment to engineer this episode that we could see, would be like, it would start the same, but, like, as soon as Trixie left the stage is when she'd act a little bit more normal, like, have a little bit of the bravado still going. Maybe only talk in third person every now and then. And, like, it becomes the main six don't know if, like, her stage persona is the real Trixie. And, like, when she's not on stage, she's trying to be subtle and, like, not cause waves.
Yeah.
So that people don't be shit to her after her show. Like, is it that offstage Trixie is the fake one, or the onstage Trixie is the real? Like,
yeah.
That would have been such a good episode, yeah. And we don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been really nice to, like... Because, yeah, that's all I really ask for, you know, is, like, see, you know.
We ask for so little from these gods that have written the world we live in.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
They did give us Rainbow Dash's magical rainbow enema, though, so, you know, I can't be angry all the
time. That was really good. Yeah, and it's, admittedly, that might have been a stronger moral than this weird thing about, it's bad to be boastful, but it's okay... If you're confident in yourself?
Yeah, it's...
It's a weird moral.
Yeah, the moral of this one's, like, it's okay to be confident in yourself, but, like, don't go rubbing it in other people's faces, which is, like, actually kind of a shitty moral.
Yeah, because, like, where's the line? Like, it's a weird lesson. It would have been much better if it was, again, about, like, you know, telling reality from fiction or whatever. You know, don't believe everything you hear or whatever. You could still have had Snips and Stales go and get the bear. Like,
yeah, like, so much of this episode could have been the same, just with, like, the framing between main events changed.
Yeah, like, if we'd gotten a little more time with Trixie to show that, you know, she's fine behind the scenes. Like, you know, she's a pony like anyone else. She's, you know, I'm sorry things got a little heated on stage.
Yeah, that would have been good. Like, there's a lot to say about, like, the really, like, parasocial engagement with, like, people who have a platform.
Yeah.
That would cause. Oh, like, that's such a good moral, and I'm very sad they didn't do it.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Instead, we got Trixie being scared by a bear and jumping out of her extremely empty cart with some of just the most bonkers bad animation I have seen in the show so far.
And, like, I'm remembering a future episode where, like, the entire main six worked together to upstage Trixie just to, like, really rub her nose in the fact that she's not as talented as they are, which is just...
Ooh.
Which, like, I would have to, like, see the episode again, experience the episode again to really, like, pass judgment on it, but, like, yeah, we get it. Like, she's a stage magician. She can't do, like, big, flashy, real magic like you can, Twilight. Like, how much does she have to suffer?
Right? Like,
she's doing her best.
Yeah, she, like, her special pony power is, like, being good at doing stage magic. I'm sorry, that's just the thing she does.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing that bugged me, right? Like, it's comparing apples to oranges. It's like, Trixie, yeah, Twilight is better at magic than Trixie. They're not on the same level. Like, they do different things. Like, Twilight's a lousy showmare, and Trixie is a lousy, god princess's retainer and literal element of magic.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, I'm not expecting, you know, a fucking soldier to be the same powerfulness as some, you know, anime general. Like, they all got things they do and the other ones don't, and it's fine, and whatever. Like, Trixie's fine. Aside from her, like, shitty attitude,
yeah,
she's fine, actually.
Yeah, like, if she could turn it off a little bit, that would be fine. Like, if we got her, you know, if we got her, like, ordering food and, like, you know, one of the main six was like, you know, hey, that was rude of you. How dare you treat my friend like that? She's like, yeah, look, I'm sorry about that. You know.
Yeah, because if we had, like, the initial stage thing and, like, she showed up, like, I don't know, say Applejack and Rarity.
Yeah.
And then we had, like, I don't know, Twilight, or not Twilight, but, like, someone else, like, bumped into her, and then we had, like, a second stage show, and that's when she, like, showed up, like, Rainbow Dash, and
here's your one scene fix, or your at least your Band-Aid, is, like, you know, yeah, we see, like, Rarity and Applejack having lunch, or whatever, and, like, they see Trixie at the next table, and they start, like, you know, oh, there's that mean, boastful pony we don't like, and then, like, you know, Trixie, like, overhears this, and she comes over, and she apologizes.
Yeah, like, I realize what I kind of want would have to come into a longer episode, but, like, I would really want the introduction we get to Trixie, good. Having that scene afterwards where, like, she is a normal pony, good. But then, like, another scene of her, like, being on, like, having her whole, like, on-stage persona, and then, like, I don't know, Applejack or Rarity being like, oh yeah, yeah, you just went and apologized, like, all this is fake, like, you went and apologized to us while she's on stage, so Trixie has to, like, pretend that didn't happen because that fucks with her on-stage persona.
Yeah.
So, like, then there's a lot of questions about, like, was she lying at the cafe or was she lying on, like...
Yeah, and you can go into questions of, like,
We want an hour-long pony episode. We want a My Little Pony movie about Trixie. Just make this episode a movie and make it a more interesting moral.
Yeah, and, like, even, you could even work some stuff in there about, like, you know, even when you're playing a character on stage, there's some shit that's not okay to do, you know? A lot you could do with this.
Man, could you imagine if some conservative comedians heard any of the stuff we were saying right now?
Yeah, imagine.
They might actually be funny.
If
they actually listen to us. But hey.
Yeah, like, that's...
Thankfully, we don't need to worry about them anymore.
Yeah. For all we know, they don't exist. I mean...
I do hope that world still exists, and I'm sorry for people who are over there, or else people aren't listening to our podcast.
Yeah, like, someone's listened to our podcast and, like, sending us mail, so presumably they exist.
That's fair. Actually, yeah, there's been a little bit of interaction on the Twitter as well, so that's nice.
Yeah, like, I have this letter stuffed with feathers that I don't think came from Equestria.
Yeah, man, Bubble Wrap did not look too pleased about delivering that one, but we'll...
Yeah, if nothing else, I think we should assure that no birds were harmed in the sending of that letter.
Yeah, we'll have a talk with her later.
Yeah, yeah. So, setting aside all, like, the more interesting things this episode could have been...
Yes, let's talk about the shitty episode we have instead.
Yeah, and...
Because the bare corners...
Yeah, so... What... I guess the one more thing I want to say is that, like, I think that's why, like, I didn't get more gender from Trixie, like, is that, like, it could have been better. Like, if she had learned a lesson about, you know, being too in character or any of the other things we talked about, I think I could have vibed with her more.
If someone misunderstood Mademoiselle and then tried to write Mademoiselle, they'd write Trixie.
Yeah.
Which I think is where my brain was going.
By the way, it's Mademoiselle, dear.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Mademoiselle.
I get it a lot. It happens a lot. I've known people for quite some time. They're like, oh, it's modem.
Yeah. See, there was that one little thing that I did some little writing, and the joke was that she was Mademoiselle because she was a moderator.
Ah.
Was the joke.
Yeah, it works on a couple of levels, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but, like, my brain left on that side, so... Anyway.
Yeah, it's good.
Stepping away from finger-related fiction.
Finger fiction? would you like to read my thing fic?
Ah, fuck.
But, yeah, so they get Trixie to D deal with the Ursa. She's understandably nervous because, you know, she's never dealt with this before. She tries, like, doing her Applejack rope trick on the Ursa, and, like, it doesn't work.
It just goes around two of the Ursa's, like, fingers, I guess? Yeah. And goddamn, that bear looked real smug, just snapping those, and then just comfortably waiting while the ponies had their conversation.
Yeah, and, I forget what exactly Snail says here, but he says, like, end with A? Like, is he supposed to be Canadian?
Oh, stop goofing around and vanquish it, eh?
Yeah, there we go. Like, he got weirdly Canadian
for a second.
Oh, fuck,
the hosers entered my body. Oh, fuck, mate. Okay, there we go. Excellent. I fucked it up by going with a weird, like, Irish or Scottish fuckery there instead. Perfect.
So you're saying you don't want to go have poutine later? Ponytine? Ponytine?
That sounds like a different thing. I don't know if I want ponytine, but I'll have some poutine.
Yeah, there we go.
That sounds great. I really do hope in the fullness of time we do hear Snails saying the word hoser, because goddamn.
I think that would be good. Because, like, he's not usually Canadian. Usually he just kind of has that generic cartoon, "You're okay, boss," voice.
Yeah, except he doesn't. But I want to talk about that once we're done the episode.
Yeah, understandable. But he's not usually this Canadian, was my point.
Okay, all right.
And then Trixie's like, you know, I can't vanquish the bear. This is above my pay grade. And then Twilight shows up and fixes everything.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how Twilight fixes this?
Yeah, so it's Buck Wild.
It's real
so
fucked
she,
up.
So she uses magic to, A, make the wind blow and make some reeds and cattails make music to make the Ursa sleepy.
Yeah, there's some cool hypno music, which is, like, number 16 on her magic trick list. Which is weird that, like, number 16 is, I can make music that puts people to sleep. And number 25 is, oh, I get to make mustaches.
I think number 16 is, make the wind blow.
Ah, cool. So we don't need Pegasi anymore. Twilight can just control the weather now.
Well,
excellent.
She can make wind. The Pegasi are a lot more fine-grained. Right? They can move individual clouds and make them rain and such.
Ah, see, I'm doing the cunning thing of setting up a small joke to pay off for a bigger one later. Mm. Don't worry about it. Cause let's talk about the next trick.
Yeah, so I want to say they were going for more of a music soothes the savage beast thing, right? Like, oh, you know, when bears hear music, they get sleepy. I don't think that's necessarily true, but it makes sense.
I'm sorry, Grace. Musical notes went in one ear and out the other. If that's not horny, I don't know what is.
Look, this bear did get yeehawed by music, yes.
Yes.
And then, Twilight lifts a water tower, dumps all the water out, telekinetically, which, like, we needed that water, Twilight, to drink. And then she levitates it through a barn, milks all the cows inside, and filling it with milk.
Oh, golly, don't you know?
Yeah, the cows are still very Minnesotan.
Yeah.
And then they were full of milk, because they filled this whole water tower thing with milk.
Slaps roof of barn. These bitches are so full of milk.
These cows were absolutely turgid with milk until Twilight just wrung them right out.
I appreciate that, like, the only comment we get is Spike just saying, that's new. Like, yeah, Spike, I'm sorry. Twilight didn't want to show you her milking magic.
Yeah, she didn't want to show you that she can milk an entire barn full of cows at once.
God, okay, but, like, Twilight, do you want to get invited to some parties in the future? Because skills like that, I know some folks who have fingers, so we probably can't actually invite Twilight to those kind of parties. Shit.
Twilight, if you want to milk me, you're welcome to.
Right? It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I just think it'd be good and cool to get a horn job from Twilight.
I see how it is. Okay.
I think it'd be cool and good to get a horn job from Beans as well, dear, but we're not talking about you milking a bunch of cows with your mind.
That's fair. Okay.
I think you'd be very good at it, dear, and I'd be happy to try it later.
I love that you're saying this like I haven't already done it. But anyway.
I figured I would try.
Oh, wait. Is this one of those things where it's a will they won't they situation where we just keep?
I was mostly just trying to not make you look like a slut for the podcast, but if you're gonna volunteer that information, then I guess the ship has sailed.
I mean, yes. If the two letters that we had last week were anything to go by, that ship is already an armada.
Well, like, we've been shipped by fate, one could say, but also It is more your place to say it than mine, dear. It's more fun to make you say it, and I'm not here to come and tell.
Look, if there's one thing that gives me some strong genders, it's being bashful and blushy about flirtation and then just being a gigantic slut.
Yeah, so, it's very good. Yeah. I appreciate that you're a gigantic slut, dear. It makes the evenings here so much more fun and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, wait, sorry. Oh, fuck. There we go. Alright, get the fluster back in.
Ain't she a gem, folks? I love that little noise you make. It's so cute.
Fuck!
Just love the way I can, like, make your voice different by flirting with you. Good pony.
Okay, if we're finishing off Twilight's scary, like, multiple layers of horn glow magic.
Her horn glow is gigantic. I've never seen anything like this. Her horn is going Super Saiyan. Like, imagine, like, fucking Goku's hair, all big and blonde, but it's just on her horn.
Yeah, like, it is multiple layers of like the blue and white glow behind Saiyans. Imagine that, but then just like take a second one and make it a little bigger and put it behind, so you got like two layers of that. It goes to three layers on Twilight's
horn.
Yeah,
it is an anime power up glow.
Yeah, I am amazed her horn didn't like explode or something, but that would again be a much darker show than what we're trapped
in. She is like digging her hooves into the dirt. Yeah, she is really trying to do this. She just is taking a lot of magic juice. And then she levitates that into the Ursa's mouth, and then she picks up the Ursa, kind of rocks it, and then sends it back off to the cave, I guess.
Yeah. Grabs it right before it was about to fall over onto Trixie as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's nice. Thanks for not squishing our good, if slightly shitty, friend.
Yeah, our redemption arc ready friend, one hopes.
Yeah.
Twilight's like, yeah.
Oh, I hope you don't all hate me for saving the town and having all this magical power.
Why would we?
Yeah, like, Rainbow just interrupts her and is like, no. No, stop that. Trixie was gloating. You weren't gloating the whole fucking time. And AJ has that weird fucking line about your magic is part of who you are and we love every part of you. And it's like, one, that could be horny. But two, the way you've said it is very much a, like, Christian family being like, ah, your interest in being in a homosexual relationship is just part of who you are, and we love you.
Yeah, like
oh no, AJ, that's not like, the vibe.
And furthermore, it's okay to like not like certain parts of people, right? Like the idea that you have to, if you like or love someone, you have to love all of them. It's shitty, right? Like it's cool and there's a level of tact here, of course. You don't want to say, like, yeah, Twilight, I love you, except for, like, you know, except for that thing you do with your nose sometimes, or, like, except for the way you, like, you chew loud. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's reasonable to have things you don't like about someone, but this would also not be the place for her to say that. But it's also,
I mean, there is one thing that her friends definitely should hate about her, and it's that she'll go and read a fucking book about how to solve the episode's problems, and then they'll come in and be like, hey, Twilight, you need to do something about the episode's problem. And she'll be like, not now, I'm having a moral thing where I don't actually want to deal with the episode's problem. But the answer is, not now, I'm reading a book about how to actually do this, so please stop shouting at me to go do it. I'm literally researching how to do it right now. Twilight, you could just fucking say that. Spike was talking to you about how you need to, like, deal with Trixie. You could have just been like, she said she vanquished an Ursa Major, so I decided to go read a book about an Ursa Major to see if there's a story about a pony ever vanquishing one. Because damn, if history says otherwise, maybe we can use that.
Yeah. Or even, like, you know, hey, that would be pretty impressive. Like, you know, Twilight even seemed to be, like, willing to give her the benefit of the doubt on that one and, like, wanted to verify it before she made any rash decisions.
Exactly. Like, imagine, Twilight, if you communicated with your friends.
Yeah. Like, and possibly there's a decent moral here about, like, when you say mean things about someone, there might be collateral damage. Like, like, this is kind of the, you know, like, if you make jokes about someone being ugly or whatever, you know, that might have collateral damage and hurt people you care about, right?
Oh, these two conservative politicians are very good friends, but also make things that hurt gay people. Secretly, they're gay. Like,
good job, liberals. That's a bad joke, actually.
Yeah. Yep. It's shit like that. It's...
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Not caring about who you're, collateral... Like,
yeah.
Because that also... Yeah, you're right. That went from a great moral of, like, Twilight's friends, like, realizing, oh, shit, the stuff we were saying has made Twilight feel bad.
Yeah.
And, like, they're angry at her for her misunderstanding, not...
Not like, oh, you know, we weren't talking about you, but we can see how, like, us saying, look at that pony up there with all her magic... Isn't that, don't we all dislike her because of that? Like, I can see how that would have collateral damage that we didn't intend.
Yeah, like, AJ kind of touches on it, but, like, Rainbow and Rarity don't, like, as I recall.
Certainly, like, Trixie's magic is part of who she is, too. That's her whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Trixie, once the Ursa Minor is returned, and it's revealed that is, in fact, an Ursa Minor, it's just a little baby one.
Yeah.
Trixie's like, oh, then what's an Ursa Major like? And we get a beautiful shot into the cave of just, like, the Ursa Minor, and it zooms out, and just this, like, crankiest old mom of a bear that's just fucking giant is cradling this little baby bear, and it's both adorable and a gigantic mood.
It's very good, is the thing. There's a lot of good gender there. And again, I love the Ursa's designs. I love these, like, weird star bears.
Yeah, they got, like, a weird, like, nose ridge plating thing going on that's a lot more obvious on the major, and it's baffling and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very good.
Yeah.
And also Trixie's just like, aha, this isn't the last you've seen of me, smoke bomb, and then you can still see her butt running.
Yeah, she just books it without
you know what, reasonable though.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you? I mean, like, because she'll have her face turn later, kind of, but, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, it is kind of nice to, like, you know, she just kind of runs, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because, remember, Trixie's home was destroyed. Like...
Yeah, the bear fucking smashed her weirdly empty car.
Yeah, like, that car was her livelihood. That was all she really had. Like...
Yeah, it's not a great... It's not a great thing.
Yeah, like, Trixie was the bad guy, but she didn't deserve to become homeless. Where is she gonna sleep tonight? It's night.
Right? Like...
Like...
Yeah, she's pissed off the one town she's in. We have no idea. Like, how fucking far is it by hoof to the nearest town? I haven't even bothered to check.
I think it's at least to the point where, like, I don't know, whatever. Most of the time when we see the ponies going somewhere else, like, they take a train or something. Like,
yeah.
Like,
wait, how does Trixie's cart move? Oh, I guess she moves by magic.
Maybe? Or, like, maybe she just gets out and pulls it. Right?
She's a pretty small pony compared to the cart.
Yeah, like, it's got wheels. Once you get it going, you know.
But that's, like, Earth pony strength needed to pull carts like that.
Well, no, it's got wheels, like...
Okay, but it's also, like, a giant, like, block of wood.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to, like, if you're ever near, like, I don't know, a mobile home or something, or an RV, just, like, put that shit in neutral and tell me if you can pull it from one town to the next.
I would argue it's more built more like a rickshaw.
It's still, like, four wheels and very large and a lot of wood.
Yeah, no, it would at least be difficult to, like, get it going. You know, inertia would help, but it's also, I can understand why, like, I don't know how much Trixie can push or pull it with her magic, etc.
Yeah. It's not important now, since...
But it's, you know...
Ursa smashed it.
It's also kind of her only... What else is she gonna do, right? Like, if you're gonna be, like, a traveling show pony, this is kind of your only option, short of, like, carrying your life on your back.
I'm gonna be honest. I would love to see a character like Trixie that, like, walks around with, like, a suitcase or something and just, like, slams the suitcase on the ground and springs open and just, like, unfolds into a giant stage.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very good gender right there.
Yeah, that'd be good. Or even, like, a... You know, a Trixie getting up on a soapbox or something, or like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I kind of like the, I have a pre-prepared stage, and it's in this little box I carry. It's very good.
I do very much like the idea of your George Jetson style, like, everything in a briefcase.
Yeah. Just pull open a side panel to get everything you need. Like, it's just Hammer Space, the briefcase.
Yeah.
What a good show title there, I guess. I don't know.
And then, later on, when she's redeemed, you can have her be like, all right, I'm gonna need, like, four stout ponies to help me bolt this back up again.
Yeah, exactly. It pops out, but it does not fold back on its own.
Yeah.
There's a lot of springs involved here. I'm gonna need some earth ponies, please.
Yeah, it takes, like, 3 hours to do this. I'm sorry about this, folks.
Yeah. Once she runs off, Snips and Snails have realized that their cult leader is gone, and instantly apologize, and to their credit, they're just like, yeah, we fucked up. Anything that you think is a decent judgment to this, we deserve.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, Snips and Snails aren't super at fault here, because, like, they're children, right? Like, they're still in elementary school. Like, it's reasonable for them to have been swindled by Trixie. And maybe the lesson here is, like, A, don't believe everything you see or hear, and B, don't go waking up big, scary bear monsters.
Right? Like, again, there's a much better episode that could have been here that we didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are ordered to clean up the remains of Trixie's home.
Yeah.
And their final punishment, as suggested by Spike, is number 25.
Yeah, Twilight gives all three of them mustaches, I think, to, like, cheer them up. Because Snips and Snails love this. They're excited about it. They think it's cool.
Yeah, Spike gets them to, and all three of them are just like, ah, sweet facial hair. A thing girls like.
Yeah, or at least, like, just, you know, I get it, right? Like, you're a young boy. You won't be able to grow a mustache for a while. Like, it's cool to be given this, like, you know, this thing you associate with manhood and adulthood, right? It's like if you're allowed to drive a car or something, you know?
Tell me you're a trans egg without telling me you're a trans egg. You don't understand why people want facial hair.
When I was a kid, I wanted facial hair until, like, I don't know, I developed some gender and, like, I think I just wanted a mustache because mustache was a funny word.
Yeah. I was definitely one of those people who was like, ah, facial hair. No. I opt for no. Thank you.
My facial hair is all wispy and blonde anyway. Could never really grow a mustache beyond, like, making me look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Right?
So, yeah, whatever. But, yeah. So, like, yeah. They all enjoy their mustaches, and then our kind of denouement is, at some point, someone calls Twilight the most talented unicorn, which seems weird.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's the best at magic, but, like, now that's kind of insulting to all the other unicorns there, right? Like, that's a little mean to Rarity. Like, yeah, Twilight's good at magic, but, like, comparing her to Rarity's apples and oranges, it seems weird to say, like, Twilight's the best one, even though, like, she does kind of have the best talent, because her talent is whatever.
Yeah. It's a issue.
Yeah, it does kind of undermine, like, yeah, everyone's got their own special talent. Like, we even see in a later episode, I think, that, like, yeah, we see that, like, one of Rarity's special talent spells is that, like, she can find gems with her brain, but Twilight can also do that, as long as she spends some time with Rarity, which, like,
yeah,
Rarity brings other stuff to the table. She has, you know, she is distinctly talented in ways that, like, Twilight is not, but, like, it's a little shitty to, like, structure your universe like that, you know?
Hear me out on this. Twilight only starts teleporting after Nightmare Moon teleports her. Twilight can harvest an entire field of apples only after she spent a lot of time hanging around with Applejack. Assumably that's the same thing for milking the cows. Twilight can only start detecting rocks once Rarity does it around her. Twilight's talent is that she can mimic magic from people around her.
Well, no.
Oh,
I would say her talent is that she can learn new spells, right? Like, she can learn any spell. And I think she even says something like this later on.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the limiting that to she has to be around someone else doing it first, but
No, because she learns spells from books later.
Okay, all right. Damn it. I really wanted Blue Mage Twilight, but all right. This is fine, too.
That would have leaned a lot more into the magic of friendship thing, huh? But
right?
But no.
Imagine!
No.
Thematic elements!
She can just do whatever. Like, she could just do whatever she needs to. She can... I don't know. It seems like just the best thing to be able to do.
Yeah, she is the God Queen's groomed protege, yeah. So, I mean... There hits a point where you just have to accept she is just going to be more magic than everyone else.
Which, again, like...
It's kind of fucked up.
And, like, yeah, the other unicorns we meet are distinctly, like, you know, good at other things. But, you know, it's fucked up to compare Twilight to Trixie. It's weird to say that, like, Twilight is more talented than Rarity just because Twilight is genetically better at magic than Rarity.
Yeah, it's... We're into a really uncomfortable, like, magic eugenics angle, and I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
But it does seem to be what the show is just implying is a thing. The world around us just has unicorns that are more magic than others, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, it's weird to have this, like, you know, yes, every pony has their distinct special talent. Everyone is good at some things, and, like, that's just the thing they're good at. That's, like, good moral. That's, you know, good, cool, and correct. Everyone has their distinct talents. But then it's weird to have Twilight come in, and then, like, Twilight's thing is that she can do anything. Oh, she can't do anything, right? Like, she'll, you know, Twilight will probably never learn Rarity's fashion sense, or her eye for tailoring, or whatever.
So what you're telling me is Persona 6 is the main 6, and Persona 6 will just be happening in the My Little Pony universe.
Pony-sona 6, and thank you.
Exactly. And Twilight will just be our main character, because the main character is that. In all the Persona games, they're a soulless husk that can present whatever mask their friends most likes them to interact with at the time.
Twilight does have main character syndrome. We know this. Well, she is the main character, right? Like, that's... But it's also weird to put it like that.
So, there's a few things I wanted to talk... Because now we're done with the episode, right? Is there anything else?
We get Spike saying, Rarity didn't like the mustache. Clearly I need more facial hair. Can you do me a Fu Manchu? And then the episode ends.
I think it was a Fu Manchu, which, okay, weird. I kind of wish that wasn't the name for that mustache, but beard rather. All right, dudes. And then, like, a goatee and then a fucking soul patch.
Yeah.
Like, God, Spike, Do you want Twilight to learn how to give you a fedora? Is that what you're asking here? Do you want a little trilby so you can tip at Rarity?
Look, Spike's young. I remember being in his shoes similarly. And he's got to try these things and learn they don't work for his face.
Yeah. Imagine if he had a personality instead.
He's trying.
Yeah. That was very rude of me. He's fine.
Doing his best to, like, be more than the little brother character.
Yeah, he's trying. All right. Because, like, one of the things that... Is that everything?
Credits roll.
Okay. Yeah. So, I have to ask, do the name Bob and Doug McKenzie mean anything to you?
Yeah, the two guys who had the Strange Brew.
What?
They were in that movie Strange Brew.
The
Canadian comedians.
Ah, I missed that. See, they used to be, they were a pair of characters, done on, like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent.
Yeah, on a sketch,
like,
comedy.
Kids in the Hall?
Yeah.
It was a sketch comedy show, and they did, the Great White North, which was, like, just two drunken brothers doing, like, a really silly, news bit. And, Snails is doing a perfect Doug McKenzie through, like, the entire
episode.
There
we go. That's what I was missing.
Like, that's what it was going for me. It was just like, if, like... Like, Snails is just Doug McKenzie.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if Snips is a reference to another, like, character who's, you know, got that same sort of weird high-pitched voice Snails has.
Yeah.
Because he seems like he's definitely the much more, like, just, hench gendered of the pair. But, yeah, I don't know. Hey, listener, if you have a better trivial knowledge of like, comedy shows, you want to tell us if Snips, is a reference to anything? Because, like, He feels like he probably is. I just don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, so the other things I want to bring up, two things. One, Fluttershy was in the crowd at the start of the episode. Mm-hmm. She never said a fucking thing. Yep. Where the fuck was Fluttershy when the fucking Ursa was around? Because, like, Fluttershy's entire thing that we've seen from her so far is that, like, she can figure out that a monster needs to be cared for and treated like a,
yeah, you
know, a thing that deserves compassion. Yeah. The thing Twilight does is literally just a Fluttershy move. Why the fuck wasn't Fluttershy here, aside from the fact it would undercut their
moral here is that Twilight has to be good at magic in a way that makes everyone like her. But yeah, it's weird that they did put Fluttershy in this episode, because otherwise you would have thought, well, why isn't Fluttershy dealing with the Ursa? Like, that's the other thing, is like, this could have been a Fluttershy episode. Like, Fluttershy is absolutely...
Yeah, this 100% could have been a Fluttershy episode.
Like, Fluttershy is absolutely 100% more susceptible to, like, oh, I don't want to, like, be the center of attention. I don't want to be boastful. Because, like, that's just Fluttershy's default state, right? Like...
Yeah, like, and we could have even had, like, the episode we've got now, and it's like, Twilight's like, no one's ever beaten an Ursa, and Fluttershy's like, okay, yeah, but still, use your fucking magic anyway, because I know how to help. And, like, Fluttershy steps up and starts ordering Twilight around, like, you know, as much as Fluttershy can, to, like, do these steps that we see, like...
Yeah.
Because then all we'd need to do is have, like, Fluttershy kinda know about the tricks that Twilight's doing, because, like, Fluttershy's, like, the calm, quiet one, so it would be a good one to just kind of hang out with while you're experimenting with tricks and shit. It would have been a good thing of just, like, sometimes Fluttershy and Twilight hang out because they're both, like, enjoy being quiet and reading books together. Like, that would be a good friendship moment. This could have been a beautiful, Fluttershy episode. And, speaking of Twilight reading books with a friend, started last episode, fucking Pinkie Pie. Pinkie Pie's not even here. This could have been a Pinkie Pie episode. It could have been Pinkie Pie versus Trixie on that stage the entire fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we could have seen, like, Pinkie Pie's, like, you know, also way too high energy, but, like, Pinkie Pie's doing it in a way that's inclusive and, like, you know, highlights the people she's talking to. Like, Pinkie Pie is everyone's biggest fan. That would have been really nice to see as a counterpoint to Trixie.
Consider Trixie instead of Gilda for last episode. Where, like, Trixie and Rainbow Dash are friends and are, like, pulling a lot of really mean-spirited pranks. And, like, Fluttershy's there trying to pull Rainbow Dash away from the mean-spirited angle and making, like, the much more, like, inclusive, friendly, like, the person you're pranking laughs at the end pranks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that could have also been a really good episode.
Yeah, yeah. Not what we got, though.
Where the fuck was Fluttershy?
Yeah, like...
Where the fuck they're both just gone!
Yeah, because, like, we see Twilight, like, she hears the Ursa roar and, like, oh, I have to go. Where? Certainly Fluttershy would have heard that. Like, it seemed like this would be, like, her main thing. Is that, like, oh, there's a bear problem. I have to go deal with that. That's kind of my thing. Again, like, Twilight's the main character. She can do everything.
Yeah, there are two ponies in Ponyville that could have both dealt with different angles of this that would have been very key to the characters they are, and they're just not here. They are just not allowed to be present. Ah, it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Also, zero pony loaves this episode. I'm very upset.
You hate to see it.
Not a single loaf to be found. Even Pemka's upset, if you heard that.
Oh, I can hear her.
Ah, yeah, there she is. Bird, how upset are you? Just being... There you are. Okay, cool. Anyway. I was hoping I could get her to give a squawk for the
microphone. I heard a squawk.
Get some good audio. Yeah.
Alright, and then, is that all you had to say? We do have our, feather stuff letter here.
Yeah, I think that's all I had, like...
Could have been better.
What a bad episode this was.
Yeah, like, I could see why people are Trixie apologists, because, like, she could have been good. Like, in the years following this episode, I had friends of mine who, you know, back when I hung out on pony roleplay sites a lot more, you know, people would try to humanize Trixie a lot more, you know, player is kind of, you know, a little more pathetic, a little more human. Human's a weird word to use here, but, you know, I can see why people are Trixie apologists, but I can also see why, like, you wouldn't like Trixie after this episode, because you're not supposed to like Trixie.
Yeah. Like, I know she shows up later, and I'm hoping we get a better Trixie in the future. I'll be waiting with bated breath for a Trixie I will enjoy being around, but for now, I'm kind of glad to see her not in town.
Shall I?
Want to deal with that letter?
Yep. Yeah. And let me just... There we go. Get some feathers in my mouth. Send those flying. And this one just says... Caw! Caw! Caw, caw, caw! Caw, caw, caw! Caw, caw, caw! Caw, 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 caw! Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Caw. Caw. Bird emoji.
Oh, very good.
Well, we did get a letter from a crow, which I said we would cherish.
Yes. That's actually our second, right? I guess the last one we got was from a group of crows.
Well, yeah, it was from...
No, sorry, they were absolutely not a group of crows.
They were a person.
Mm-hmm. They were a person, absolutely not a group of crows, that's right. I'm just gonna take that letter. I'm gonna put that up on the mantle, actually, I think. That sounds like a good place.
Are you sure it's not a one mantle? I am leaving in that angry silence.
Listener, I need you to know my pain. See if I suck your dick tonight. I mean, I probably will anyway, but I'll do it grumpily.
Aw, understandable, dear.
Do we have anything else?
Well,
or is that the end of the episode?
Well, if you at home would like us to read your letter on the air, email us at horse@hypnovir.us. I don't know how that works, but apparently it does. After that, I've been the Equestria's beloved Graceful Spark. You can find my writing, programs, podcasts, posts, everything else that's fit to plug at princess.software. Beans, where can we find you?
I'm keeping an eye on the @horseisekai Twitter account. If you wanna send stuff that way, that'll get to my eyes. I can also be found at Draco's Art for the parts of my brain that are not trapped in Equestria. Keep meaning to figure out setting up a website, you know. I don't know if it's... Should I plug the RPG I've been poking at? Or should I not?
Yeah, plug whatever you want here, dear.
Oh, okay. In that case, then. I've also started writing a little RPG by the name of Worlds Between Us, which is a game that is focusing on the... isekai genre, as tell, it's something I care about.
Which you have some first-hand experience with, yes.
Yes. But unlike a lot of the traditional isekai stories that are out there, mine's going to be focusing a lot on the feeling of horrible isolation and unreachable expectations of the world you're in. So, look forward to that whenever I get around to making a playtest version of that. Yeah, there we go.
One more thing. To the show's credit, they did in fact have Snips and Sales do a whole pinky in the brain, are you pondering what I'm pondering thing.
Oh yeah, that's right, the flea market joke.
Yeah,
That's fair. Yeah.
It was a decent joke, but like, he talks too slowly. Like, Snails talks too slowly, you can see the joke coming a mile away. Like, to Pinky's credit, he talks at a normal pace.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Truly it was. We were hit by a horse truck, got easy guided to Equestria. See you next week, folks. Mwah.
Bye.